Hey guys, welcome to Skincare Anarchy. I'm your host, Ekta, and I have such an amazing guest today. I'm so excited because I am one of his number one fans, and I absolutely love his comedy. It's literally such a treat in my day anytime I ever get to watch his videos, and I know that you guys have noticed as well. Probably you've seen him all over social media, and I'm sure you're equally as enthusiastic about his work as I am. So without further ado, I want to introduce you guys to Trey Kennedy. Welcome to the show, Trey. Thank you so much for coming on to Skincare Anarchy.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, no, it's such an honor to host you. I really, really love your work. And I think, you know, it's so rare to find someone that can really make you smile, you know, in your day. And I'm just so honored to host you. And I can't, you know, wait to like learn about you. That's really what I'm so excited about, because your work really resonates with me, you know, just as a person. And I think that's like a hallmark I've always noticed with every great comedian, you know, that I've always really loved, is that they really resonate with you as a person. And so I'm really honored to host you. And I want to get started by learning about you and where everything started, you know, in your comedy career. Like, what led you to pursue it? And if you could walk us down memory lane, that'd be great.
Thank you so much. Wow, that was heck of an intro. Why don't you bring you on the road or something? It's crazy to say, I've been making videos online for a decade now. It all started with Vine that came and went. That's what kind of just got me to kind of discover the passion I had for making content and growing a following. And so I kept that going on all these other platforms. And, you know, before influencer was even a word that had been invented, I was trying to figure out, you know, is this, I'm making some money, but like, where's my life headed? What am I going to do with this? And as we all know, social media has just become this huge phenomenon. And you always joke, like, I was social media famous in college, and I like got bullied for it. People were like, "What is this loser doing? Go to class." And now, if you have a lot of followers in college now, you're the coolest person on the planet. Yeah. So, you know, it is what it is. And then that all kind of created, like, I had this big audience, and apparently I could go sell tickets, but I was like, you know, to sell tickets to what? And so I tried to do it the right way and take my time and try doing live comedy. I did stand up sets here or there, and just slowly discovered that I enjoyed that too and wanted to pursue that. So fast forward like 4 or 5 years, and I'm on my second tour in the nation, and it's just been wild. Never thought I'd be doing this.
That's pretty cool though. And I hear you on the, you know, the craze of social media. I love that you've been doing this for a while and you understand that it's more than just numbers. You know what I mean? Like I rarely get to interview people because I know everyone right now is like, they just instantly blow up over nothing. And it's like, every time I watch your videos, I'm like, it's very like easy to make people laugh. It seems like the way you do your skits and the way you do your comedy. And I was like, I appreciate that. You know what I mean? As someone watching, because it doesn't feel like you're doing it for social media. You know what I mean? Like it's genuine comedy. And I love that about your work. So, but that's really cool though. That's cool that you've been doing it for so long. And I like what you said about the tour thing. By the way, congratulations on your second tour.
Thank you.
You know, I know you're going to a lot of places, and it's really cool to see like actual stand up in person. So everyone listening, I'll definitely post Trey's schedule if I can do that, you know, in the concept art. So stay tuned for that, and check them out, you know, if you're anywhere near. But I wanted to ask you, Trey, you know, I know that with comedy, you know, especially like being on tour, the whole thing, right? It takes a lot of energy and resilience. And I would love if you could share some like, maybe like some self-care, you know, routine things that really refuel you throughout your day, or like something that you find yourself doing, you know, while you're, you know, on the road or even at home or wherever you are, you know, working, something that keeps you going.
Yeah. Great question. I cold plunge 3 times a day. I'm just kidding. I don't do that. That's insane. I'm not a Navy SEAL. So I have it being my second tour. I think the first tour, I really did notice myself just like at my wit's end, like, oh my gosh, I just, you know, it was a new world for me, a new schedule. And so doing a lot better this time around of finding the things that make it, you know, number one, just more fun. And number two, like way more sustainable. I don't come back to my wife and kid like, oh, I'm exhausted, you know, trying to find those routines that allow me to perform my best, enjoy myself, keep going, not get worn down. So yeah, I've just really big on, I've gotten into running more. I've always tried to be pretty active, but running has been a game changer. You know, I'd always hated running and avoided cardio, but you know, one turning 30, having a kid, I was like, I don't want to die. So I should probably, cardio would only help. And I got into running, which has just been a great tool because all you need is just your shoes and you go. So I show up in a city and I always try to get a run in, see the city, sweat, get some sunlight, and try to prioritize really good rest and just good community things with my crew. We have a great crew now. And so we, at least once a weekend when we're out, we'll get like a, you know, living the comedian life. We're up late, sleeping in. So we'll do these like 10 o'clock post-show dinners where we sit down, have a nice quality meal together. It avoids us being in some loud bar yelling at each other, only having drinks. It's like we have a bottle of wine and some steaks and we go to bed. And things like that just really fill me up. Really like fulfill me, energize me, because I'm not an introvert. I'm an extrovert. And so those little things that I didn't do on the first tour that I'm doing here have been really, really helpful.
Yeah, I love that, though. The idea of, like, just, you know, carving out time to just do genuine, like, meaningful stuff with people around you. I mean, that's really important. I think we can all relate to that. I know it's hard, right? It's got to be hard with, like, you know, constantly being, even if you're an extrovert, constantly being around people and then having to, like, pull away and find that time for yourself. So that's why I asked you, because I'm sure it gets crazy. Yeah.
It does. Yeah. And, like, I'm glad I'm doing what I'm doing. I definitely don't feel too worn out because I do enjoy it. I like performing. I like being in front of people. But yeah, something like the running, I think, has been a game changer because it's kind of two birds, one stone. It's like my alone time with my thoughts and also obviously getting a sweat in. So
yeah, I love that, though. It's a great habit. That's a really great habit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
it's
cool.
Tough. It's really, I would encourage anyone to do it. It's so hard to get going, but you know, for 6 months I felt like I could barely run a 10-minute mile, but you finally see progress, and it's I've enjoyed that. I feel like it's my real 30s activity. I used to just show up to the gym without stretching and like deadlift stuff, and now it's like I need to stretch.
So. No, I mean, it's so true, though, because, you know, I know, like, from my whenever I talk to patients, I have patients that are like, well, I don't really want to start, you know, any kind of exercise because it takes me forever to start. But it's exactly what you said. You know, once you start, you realize how good it is for you. So I'm going to start using you as a poster child for that, by the way.
Let's be go. Like, well,
Trey Kennedy does it, so you can do it.
Yeah, you can do it.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I think that's cool. That's really, it's good to hear that, because I think we don't really talk about, you know, like, just overall wellness, right? Like, I mean, this podcast for me is always about, you know, these, like, you know, women, we always use a lot of, like, you know, topical products and stuff like that, but we rarely get to sit down and really talk about, like, you know, what is wellness, especially when it comes to men, you know? And that's really why I asked you, because, you know, I feel like men are always overlooked, you know, in this area. Like, we don't really get to talk about it, like, openly. And that's something I really wanted to, like, kind of just chat with you about, was this idea of, like, just wellness overall for men. And I feel like the industry, me as a woman, right? I mean, I look at it all the time and I'm like, why are we not including more options for men, you know, that are just easier, you know, for them to look at and be like, this is a good idea for me, you know, I should do this. And I would love to get your perspective on that, because I know you make some hilarious skits, you know, about, like, for example, I was watching your eyelash one earlier today, you know, before the interview, about, you know, we have all these little rituals as women, I feel like, that we do, but I just don't see that for men. So, you know, I would love to get your perspective on, like, the wellness and the beauty and all this industry, right, that we call the overall holistic wellness industry. Like, what do you think, that men have, like, a good place in it right now? Or do you just, I mean, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, so much of my content is poking fun at those stereotypes of, like, you know, the like you said, girls are applying eyelashes and eyebrows and it, just a million things, and dudes just, like, sprinkle sink water in their hair. It's like, and, you know, it's funny and stuff, but yeah, I mean, there's definitely, you know, it's like, I think every guy can relate who's married. My wife has really helped show me a few things I can do that easy, you know, moisturize the skin a little bit, this or that, which, you know, I feel like so many guys are like, I don't need that. But stuff like that, it was helpful. And, you know, like this sounds so okay, man. Like, but like wearing sunscreen, so many guys, I go out golfing and they're just like, oh, I don't bring sunscreen. I just like get burnt. It's fine. And, yeah. And, you know, my mother had melanoma. She's all well and good, recovered, but you know that. So that's in the back of my head. And trying to be so many guys, you kind of, it's almost like goofy to take care of your skin or like try to have healthy hair, right? Like guys don't think about this stuff, but a wife helps me think about that. Getting older helps me think about that. And yeah, I definitely think we've made strides in that way, but yeah. You know, so many dudes just couldn't care less what they're putting in their body, on their body. And I've tried as I've gotten older and more mature to, and especially as a father too, you know, I want to live a long, healthy life. Trying yeah. to, you know, my tour rider, like every show we go to, it used to be chips and candy and this, that. And, you know, I updated on this second tour, like we have fruit. Yeah, it just
healthier.
Things like that. Trying really care about what I'm, how I'm treating my body when I'm putting in it, because, you know, getting quality sleep, all those things, it makes you feel a million times better once you get in the habit of doing them.
Yeah. And I like that though. I like that you brought that up, because I think for a lot of times, like for men, from what I've noticed as well, you know, just to add to your point, is like, I feel like health is wellness. You know what I mean? Like this idea of like self-care is really about health for a lot of men. You know, it's this idea, it's like, it does, it's like turning a page, you know? I mean, I watched my brother do it, you know, and the other like men in my life, where it's like, you hit a point and you're just like, wait a minute, I need to, you know, eat better. I need to do better. I need to just make sure my body's okay. And I like that. I mean, I think that sometimes we try to force it too. You know, it's like this industry is so big that I think women, we naturally just, we are just curious, I think, about every freaking product out there. You know, I think a lot of us can relate to that, but with men, it's like, we don't have to like force it. You know what I mean? It's more about like making things available. And I think that kind of goes to what you were saying, because if it is about health and overall wellness for you guys, you know, it's like, we should embrace that, you know what I mean? Rather than always like pushing like, oh, well, you know, how can we make skincare lines for men? You know, like I remember Brad Pitt came out with his line, everyone was talking about men's skincare. And I was like, why don't we just let men figure it out? You know, let's just let them figure it out. And we have a lot of options, you know? So, but yeah, that's pretty. So I want to ask you, you know, I know that with like in comedy, you know, you're always making everybody else laugh, you know, and that's such a gift to us, you know, we love you for it. But, you know, what makes you laugh, you know, in your day? What makes you like genuinely like happy, you know, things that maybe memories you have or things throughout your day that you just find to be great, you know, pick me ups or whatnot?
Man, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is my people. Like I'm really lucky to have a great group of friends. I have so many dear friends, and I think, you know, I love watching other comedians and other stand up, and that's funny, but we all know the feeling of like laughing so hard you can't breathe. And I think that only really happens with like just your closest people. Like after I had a show this weekend in Kansas City where I live. So it was like a special show, a lot of friends and family. Had a blast, had everyone, you know, made everyone laugh at the show. It's a great feeling. But then we hung out after with all my friends, and I was like, I laughed so hard all night, and I was almost more excited for the experience of hanging out with my friends all night after the show than the actual show. And it's like, I think I'm in a good place when that is the feeling versus work's the most important thing. That's all I care about. It's like, what a cool opportunity that I get to do this show and have my friends by my side and then go celebrate with them after. Yeah. Like I said, I'm a big extrovert. So just hanging with my best friends, my wife cracks me up. All my friends' wives are awesome. Like we just have a good group where I'm taking off tomorrow for some family time with my parents, my sister, her kid, like, and they're, I get my humor from my family. They're fun to be around and they're hilarious. So That's usually it for me, is just good people, sitting down, good food, chatting, laughing. And I think I'm really lucky to have that, because that keeps me sane. It keeps me grounded. and keeps me from spiraling down a dark path of a comedic's doom, as we've seen.
I mean, I can imagine. You're from the Midwest then.
I was born and raised in Oklahoma, where are you from?
I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. So that's what
That's the Middle East, I think they call it.
Oh my God.
No, that's kind of Midwest, right? I'm from Oklahoma, which I don't know. So a lot of people like to call that Midwest, but us in Oklahoma, we know it's the South. We've got Southern culture. So I grew up in the South, and now I've landed up here, which is less Southern, a little more Midwest. Yeah. But that's definitely the Bible Belt vibes is what I've always known.
Yeah. I mean, I can kind of tell. It's like the hominess, though. I love it because your vibe is very, like, relatable. You know what I mean? That's why I'm like, wait a minute. You know, like, maybe that's why I gravitate so much towards your comedy, because you're just, you know, it hits close to home. So. That's cool, though.
Thanks.
That's,
I think it's, I appreciate it a lot. And I just give all the credit to like, living in this part of the country, being from Oklahoma, having the friends I do, because people see me and they're shocked. They assume like you have to live in LA to do what I'm doing. And I was like, no, I just live here. And people are like, why? And it's like, I don't know. Cause maybe jerks like you don't live here. You know, I feel like I'm
get away from, like, assholes.
Yeah. I feel like that's what keeps me grounded, is just like, I don't come home to some like crazy house in Malibu. It's just like, I just live in Kansas. You know, it's hard to feel like.
There's nothing wrong with Kansas, though. Kansas is cool.
Exactly. It's hard, and it just keeps you. It's like, it's normal life. It's real life, and that's what I appreciate about it.
I love that. I love that. I love how grounded you are. That's really cool. And I've always said this. Like, I don't know if you agree or not, but I've been a huge fan of stand up comedy my whole life. And I remember, like, you know, there was a conversation I had alongside. Like, it was like college. I had a conversation with a very close friend of mine, and I said, you know, I feel like you couldn't be a comedian if you weren't, like, really intelligent. Like, it's almost impossible to be, I feel like, because you have to be very aware of, like, people and, like, you know, just life scenarios and just stuff, right? Like, just that person who can observe things. So, like, I guess my question really is, like, when do you think, like, you started noticing that you were able to, like, turn something into, like a situation into something genuinely funny? Or did you ever have that moment of, like, you know, like, I don't know, a revelation or what, but like that moment where you realize, like, you know what, I need to do this and I need to, like, actually put it out there as, like, you know, real comedy, you know?
This is great. Yeah. I love this. It's so different than other podcasts I'm on with other comedians. They're just like, what's your favorite butt joke or something? This is like, I love it. I've always thought I was socially aware. And I think part of being socially aware is also questioning, like, am I socially as aware as I think? But I agree. I think obviously as a comedian, you've got to learn to be aware. Cause that's kind of the whole thing, is like, I'm saying these things that I'm becoming aware of, that I think we're all aware of, but I'm saying it so it makes you laugh. And I just think my personality and my upbringing, I was just very lucky to kind of be built for this. I think I was always weirdly observant. You know, I think we all know people, you know, a lot of times men who they're like, you know, the classic, like, your own wife walks in with, like, she dyed her hair brown and you don't notice for 3 days. You're like, what? Yeah. You know, that's not me. I'm like, I'm always looking at things. I've always liked to observe and criticize. And of course, I do that to myself as well, but that's kind of what comedy is, observing and criticizing. And, you know, I hope to do it in a lighthearted, from a loving way, and not just like making people laugh and not like hateful, but that's what I've always been wired to do. And then just, I was always funny guy. That was my identity. I wanted to be funny. I'll never forget, in seventh grade, there was a vote for the funniest guy. I got second place. I was distraught.
Yeah,
Jackson beat me. He's not a famous comedian now. So,
oh God, Jackson, no one feel better.
There was middle school is when I came out of my shell a lot and was like a class clown. And one of my core memories was we had a English teacher, and then she had a student teacher, and she was one of those teachers who basically was just like, my student teacher teaches now, so I don't have to do anything. And so it's kind of this like feeling in the class of, where'd our teacher go? This like 21-year-old, I guess, our teacher now. And It was that first experience where we had a principal attendant or whatever. I don't know if you remember school where they'd walk kid walk to your class and have a note, and they'd be like, this is for the teacher from the principal. So I went to the door and the kid was like, this is for the teacher. And I go in front of the whole class, I go, oh, she doesn't work here anymore. And the class died laughing. And it was like, I didn't expect to get that big of a laugh, but it was the first big moment of like, number one, that I liked that. It felt good. Number two, I just said what everyone else in the room was thinking, but didn't want to say. Yeah. And it made everyone laugh. And that was like a real, I feel like that was one of those moments for me where I was like, oh, wow, I just brought the house down with that joke.
Yeah. I love that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like, but it was always like, you know, I like that you're like that, man. Like that was like, for me, I was like always bullied, you know what I mean, in school. And I remember you got like that. Those are the kind of kids that I always got along with. You know what I mean? It's like having that gift, you know, for just making a whole room laugh. I mean, that's huge. Like that makes everybody like drop their, you know, the crap, you know what I mean? You just kind of focus on something great for a moment. That's huge. So that's,
And I'm just lucky to have, I had such a funny dad, funny great. We had such a funny family, and they also raised me right. So I think a lot of the kids that were funny, they did it, like you said, like by at others' expense, bullying them.
Yeah.
But I'm really grateful to look back, you know, especially when everyone starts getting canceled, you know, you start looking back like, I'm good, right? And luckily, I was raised really right. Never said any slurs or bullied any kids. So grateful to have been raised right, because people are coming for you.
But, I never liked,
I still appreciate every type of comedian, but I never wanted to be the comedian that you felt like they were just bullying people. It's like, it's made fun of, and that you toe that line of like, you make fun of them, but it's not hurting anyone's feelings is really what I like to do. So.
I think you do a great job of it. It really comes across. I mean, I love all the videos I watch, you know, that you do, but like even the ones that are like, you know, the funny ones with like I had mentioned the, you know, the eyelash one, you know, even the cool, like the funny ones that make fun of like little things women love to do, you know, like I was watching the bachelor party versus the bachelorette party one.
Yeah.
And I was just dying laughing because I'm like, man, he just gets it. Like, it's just hilarious. But it's like you bring it's like bringing reality to people in a really cool way. You know, it makes you observe yourself, you know, in a way and go, yeah, OK, we do that. You know what I mean? Girls do that. It's real. So I think that's a unique gift. You know, I don't think all comedians have it. And like you said, I know a lot of people have gotten some, like, you know, some hate in the past about, you know, always making fun of the audience or, you know what I mean, in their stand up or something like that. And I think there's a fine line, you know, as somebody on the other side of the mic, you know, I think there's a fine line. But that's one of the questions I have for you is like, when you do, you know, your tours and you're doing the stand up part, I mean, is there a lot of impromptu stuff or do you kind of just stick to what you know, you like to like say like your jokes that you've already planned out, or do you do a lot of impromptu as well?
Good question. No, I'm not a huge crowd work improv comedian like some are. There's always elements of the show where I'll ask an audience member something and I riff on that or something happens. But I'm more of a comedian where I really like to have my show, my act, and it's like trying to craft this really nice hour show. So that's more of the comedian I am. And, you know, that I try to sprinkle in talking with the audience and riffing and making fun of them or teasing them. I think everyone always appreciates that. But because some comedians will go out there and just wing it for an hour. And that's definitely not the comedian I am. I like to really write out my material and try to fine tune it and craft like a really good show. So.
That's cool. I like that. That's really cool. I mean, I appreciate that too. Cause I mean, I'm sure it takes a lot of time. I mean, how long does it take? Like when you're planning out like a new video or like a new joke for like your tour, like how long do you think it usually takes you? Like if you were to guess, like on average.
Yeah. The videos are, they're like one and the same in that both a video and a joke on stage are like, you write it and you try it for the first time, but a video, you try it for the first time and it's on the internet. And that's it. But on stage, you're like, okay, I just try that in front of these people in Cincinnati. I found that this part was funny and this needs some work. So when I try it again across the country, I can do it again. And that's kind of the beauty of on stage, is that I've been telling the same jokes, working on them on, you know, 100 different cities over a year and a half. Yeah. And so by the time it's finally done and like we shoot the special, it's, you can feel really confident in it versus like a video, which is very much just throwing stuff at the wall and see what sticks, and you keep uploading and you keep posting, and the ones that don't do well, just no one sees. The ones that do well, they go viral. So they're one and the same in that way, but the stage can be really rewarding because you just have so many opportunities to change this or that. Because a video I'll post and you'll see comments or this or that, and I'll go, man, I wish I had known this feedback so I could kind of tweak that. But it's like, well, it's out there. It is what it is, versus stand up where you get that feedback and you can change it and you do it again.
Yeah, that makes sense actually. Cause yeah, a video is like more, I feel like it would take more planning in a weird way. Like, I mean, obviously you plan what you say on stage as well, but that's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah, I guess the way I do on stage is less planning than a video. The video is really written out. We shoot it, you edit it, you hone it in, cause you know, once it's there, it's gone. But on stage, it's almost like a little less pressure sometimes. Where you just, I'm going to go up there and try this. And if it doesn't work, I'll just never say it again. And that's fine. And if it does, then I have an opportunity to make it better next time. And so they're different in that way. And I find I really enjoy both.
What was your toughest crowd? Like if you were to like pick one, like do you have a memory of like the toughest one that you like stage that you were on? People were just not laughing the way you expect.
Yeah. I mean, I'm lucky to be in a place now where we have great fans who come out to the shows and they're always fired up, and those are always fun. But it's those early days where you just go on stage, people don't know who you are, and had some rough sets. But the one that really stands out usually is I got hired to do a gig for the Memphis Grizzlies, the professional basketball team. So it was just like a family fun night. They were like, hey, after the game, stay in the arena and Trey Kennedy's going to perform. And so that's already a weird setup because, you know, Memphis wasn't good at the time. So there wasn't that many people there at the game at all. And then you can't expect many to stay around. So I'm going to perform in an arena that seats 15,000 to maybe a few hundred people. Right. Right. And then on top of that, this was the day Kobe Bryant died. So I am gearing up to perform at a professional basketball game, and an hours beforehand, this horrible news breaks. They don't even know if they're going to play the game. Long story short, they play the game. It's a horrible day. I still do a comedy show, and of course it's just horrible. No one's like, why are we? No one wants to do this right now, and. Yeah. That was just one of those I just got through. Was just like, that's just bad luck. It is what it is. You can't. Yeah. There's like that's turning around true. Bad days, and there's like such bad days. It's just like everyone just needs to go home. So that was unique experience that I was proud of myself. And as a comedian, you learn sometimes you said you're going to do the gig, you do the gig, and you know. Toughened up my skin, but brutal day to do comedy.
I mean, talk about tough days. Yeah, that's the worst. I mean, rest in peace, Kobe. Always, you know, I just it's wild. That's tough, man. Yeah, wow. Well, I mean, more power to you that you got through it. You know what I mean? That's crazy. I can't imagine being put on a spot on a day like that. That's
what's wild about being a comedian. Sometimes you never know what you're getting thrown into. And then I did a number of like I should have never done these, but I did like pandemic Zoom shows.
What? What are those?
We're like, back in the day, it'd be quarantine and like everyone's remote, and these corporations would try to make it like fun.
Oh.
It'd be like,
team building.
Team building. Yeah. Today at 2 p.m. on a Wednesday, comedian Trey Kennedy is going to do a 30-minute Zoom stand-up show. And that one about as well as I think it did. So. I just remember just being in my basement, just like dying for 30 minutes and just like logging off and just being like, oh, that made me feel good. Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. I don't think I could. I mean, I feel bad for you because I don't think I could even sit through, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'd be like, God, I feel bad for him right now.
Exactly.
I'm sure people look at our ugly faces for 30 minutes. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, that made you, you know, the comedian you are today, though. So, I mean, I guess we have a flip side to that.
I'm grateful for those experiences because they do. They teach you a lot and they teach you those important lessons of, like, you know, I got booed on stage a few weeks ago, and long story short, it was just a guy who was super drunk and, like, he didn't know what he was doing. But having been through so many experiences way worse than that, you're just like, oh, that's all, you know, you just make a joke and move on. And so they're important, for sure.
Absolutely. No, that's, I mean, I can definitely imagine the character building and stuff that happens there, right, you know, those terms, the psychology term. But yeah, no, I mean, that's, you know, important. And I really want to actually, I want to take this time and really round out the interview and ask you for advice, you know, because I know a lot of young professionals tune into our show. And if there's any comedians out there, you know, in the making, I'd love for you to give some advice, you know, about the career path and really about, you know, finding their voice or whatever you might want to comment on. I'd love to hear your, you know, input.
Sure. When I get asked this, which I'm very flattered to be asked that, thank you. I think the only one I feel the only advice I feel comfortable giving, and that I really feel like I'm proud of myself for doing, is trying things, trying my best and getting out of my comfort zone. I think I'm in my position because, not because I'm some wildly, hilariously gifted, talented person, but I worked hard and I took risks and I did things I didn't want to do. When I first got on the stage doing stand up, I mean, my whole body was screaming, like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. Why am I doing this? Why? But I just knew that I had an opportunity, and I never know unless I tried. And this thing I didn't want to do. And if you ask me my whole life, because I was always shy, stage fright, would I ever try stand up comedy? I'd be like, no. And I did it, and I survived. I got off stage. It didn't go great, but it didn't go bad. And there's things I've tried that I failed and realized, okay, don't need to try that again. Or things I've tried and failed, and I thought, okay, I think I do want to try that again. So that's my only advice is just really putting yourself in positions that challenge you and make you uncomfortable to just see, is this something that maybe I do want to do? Because you don't know until you try.
I love that. That's solid advice. I mean, you're right. You know, I failed a lot too. So I hear you. And I, you know, for anyone listening, that's really solid advice. So thank you for saying that.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, yeah, to be in your position, you've certainly had to take risks and try things too. So yeah. I think anyone in certain positions have done the same. So that's all I could say.
100%. No, I love it. It's great advice. And I really urge everyone, if you guys haven't checked out Trey's comedy yet, I mean, you really need to. It's really a treat during your day. I mean, I literally, like I said, you know, if I'm just sitting around, I'll like pull up YouTube or pull up my Instagram, and he always makes me laugh. Trey, you're such a gem in this, you know, entire like realm of comedy. And I really, really appreciate all of the amazing videos you put out, all of your work. I mean, just know that we hear you and you make us laugh every day. So thank you so much for everything you do. And I can't wait to watch all the wonderful videos coming up. So
thank you so much. That's so kind. Thanks for reaching out. People like you make it easy to do what I do. And y'all, everyone says thank you, but I say thank you to the audience because it's a treat for me as well. So thanks so much. Yeah. Come out, see me. TreyKinney.com for all the tour dates. Would love to meet some of your listeners.
I'm going to put in the art for this episode for everyone listening. And I really, really urge you guys, like, if you're near him in any of his tour dates, please go check him out. It's probably going to be the best, you know, thing you buy for that night. I love going to comedy shows. It's just such a treat. They're so fun. Exactly. So check it out. But thank you again, Trey. And like I said, you know, hopefully we can have you back sometime if you ever have the time in your schedule. But thank you again.
Thank you again so much. I appreciate it.